solo. I think I enjoyed the solo more this afternoon because I was down there. This morning, I was behind him, and I didn't get it all. But sitting there, I got the full beauty of your voice. Thanks very much. And I didn't know our sister Diane was an instrumentalist. You have a lot of talent here. Thank the Lord. Now, shall we continue our study, please, of sincerity in Christian living? And we might look again at our text, Joshua chapter 24. It has been pointed out that if a preacher does not have a text, he's preaching on the pretext. And we don't want to do that. So at least we have a text. And when you go home, you know where the text was. Joshua chapter 24. Verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And we found that same word in Philippians chapter 1, sincerity. And we have seen that we should be sincere in our prayers. We are not to say prayers. We are to pray. You've heard the story of the man who was walking down the street and he saw the fire engines. And from all that he could gather, his neighbor's house was on fire. So he just prayed, well, Lord, don't let too much burn, and I hope all will go well. But you know the rest of the story. As he approached the place, he saw it was his house. Then he prayed. That's what we're talking about. Genuine prayer. Then we saw that we should be consistent, serious, sincere in our thanksgiving. We had a wonderful meal here today. I don't know what you thought of it. Consider the millions in this country that don't have anything. Are we thankful? We should be. Then we saw that where the assembly of God is concerned, we should be thankful and sincere and support the local assembly. Now we've been doing some nice singing. How sincere are we in our singing? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Sincerity in singing. Now, we're going to read a verse there. You will find that most of the commentaries interpret it differently from the way I'm going to interpret. But I think if you will read the whole chapter, you will see that my interpretation has the Lord's approval. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. What does that mean? To sing with the Spirit. Chapter 3 tells us that the spirit of a man is that portion of the man that knows. Man is body, soul, and spirit. So the spirit might be considered his intelligence. We're supposed to know what we're singing. Too often we sing words, and we like the tune, and we like the rhythm. We are supposed to sing with our spirit. We're supposed to know what we sing. And with the understanding. Whose understanding? The understanding of the people that are listening to us. Now read the rest of it and you'll find that that is correct. Hymn hypocrisy. Do we practice what we sing? We sing a lot of hymns, but oh, we don't always practice. Let me call your attention to some. I love to tell the story. Whom do you tell it to? It's hypocrisy. That's not sincerity. Take my life and let it be. And most of us are saying, yes, Lord, please let it be. Don't bother me. That's what we're saying. Take my life and let it be. Sweet hour of prayer. How many come? Have thine own way, Lord. With Sister Jones and Brother Smith. It's hypocrisy. This is not sincerity. I'll go where you want me to go, but not to Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. We're not sincere too often. Take my might, but I will hold to my silver and my gold. That's the way we mean when we sing it the other way. So that even in singing, we need to be careful of what we sing. I don't know if you sing it in the worship meeting, but there is a hymn to this effect concerning our Lord Jesus Christ dying crushed beneath the load of the wrath of God. Do you ever sing that? Anybody? Don't know it. Dying crushed beneath the load of the wrath of God. Is that true? Did the Lord die beneath the wrath of God? Was he crushed? Was he crushed? Why, when it was all over, he said with a loud voice, "Finish." Does that sound like a dying man crushed beneath the load of our sins? We need to be careful what we sing. Don't sing rhythm and don't sing melody. Don't even sing harmony. Sing words and know what the words mean. Let me go on to another one. What about our Bible study? Are we sincere in our Bible study? Tell me, beloved, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. I know you won't raise your hands. How many of you find Bible study boring? Well, thank you. We've got two honest people. Because a lot of believers find Bible study boring, dull, uninteresting. We have no appetite for the Word. And yet we should. You know, the Word of God has a flavor. Several times the Word of God is described as sweet. Is it sweet to your taste? Oh, I tell you, the Word of God is sweet. Now, I've told several people that my favorite time to study is between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. Now, the folks where I'm staying, I don't know if they knew that I've been up most of the, during those hours. But, oh, you get some delightful treasures from the Word of God when you get alone with Him. No telephone call. Now, I'm not telling you to study between 2 and 5. I wouldn't tell you that. But get alone with the Lord. The Word is sweet and it's thrilling. You talk about novels to thrill you. This will thrill you. I have a friend, some of you know him, he's down in Florida. He used to work in New York City at R.H. Mason. He always had a little testament with him. And during the lunch hour, after lunch, he would go down to the locker room and read. And this day he was reading, he didn't know that anybody was around. He thought nobody was around. And as he read, he came across something and he said, "Wow!" Have you ever found anything in the Bible to make you do that? It's there. Plenty there to make you say, "Wow." Oh, I wish I could get you youngsters together. We'd have some fun going through the wows of the Bible. The science in the Bible. The advanced thinking in the Bible. Things that we think are big today have been in the Bible. You all talk about space. It's in the Bible. Do you know where to find it? Well, we better not get away on that. But the Bible can thrill. It can thrill. And you should get to the point where it has a flavor. You like to read it. And you like... It's a gold mine, by the way. You read that in... I'm not turning to these scriptures for the sake of time. The Bible is a gold mine. You get it in Proverbs. It's like... getting gold, like getting treasure. Now tell me, do you go out in the street and pick up gold? Not unless you happen to find a gold piece. But that's not the way you get gold, is it? You dig for gold. And if you're going to know this book, you've got to dig. I remember when I was going to school, the very first day in medical school, there was a fellow there, I knew him before. He was 2 or 3 years before me. I said, "What's the secret of this medicine business? What's so difficult about it?" You know what he said to me? "Guards, dig." You want to know the Word of God? Dig. Spend time at it and dig. The Word of God is food. You get that in 1 Corinthians, rather 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm not turning to the scriptures because I know you know. But take Acts chapter 20. You know, from time to time, we read about supplements. to give you more vitamins and more minerals and more of everything and less cholesterol. You know, we're always reading about that. Do you know that the Bible is a complete food? Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. It's got everything in it. Got everything in it. Do you feed on it, child of God? Do you feed on it? It's a complete food. Now, the secret of eating is regularity. Some people have to eat 6 times a day. Their condition required. Most of us, I see the doctor here, most of us 3 times a day, but it must be regular. Now, at your zoo, in the reptile house, we didn't go there yesterday. This was a few years ago. We went with our sister here, to the reptile house. You see, they move too fast. But I read all the signs. And there was this snake. I was fascinated by the sign. This snake is fed 1 rat once a week, Tuesday at 1 o'clock. That's regular. That's regular. And so must the word of God be taken in regularly. Young people especially, find a particular time to study the word of God. The same hour, possibly every day. We must feed regularly. It was Philip Henry who said, I find it easier to go 6 miles on foot to listen to a sermon than to spend 15 minutes meditating on it at home. Is that true of you? It shouldn't be. You remember what we read in Acts chapter 17? Well, we are near there. We might as well turn to it. And verse 11, speaking of the Bereans, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Oh, I know you're busy. I know you have a lot of things to do. But oh, I would urge you to search the scriptures. My father always used to say, Christians shouldn't read the Bible. That sounds sacrilegious, doesn't it? He said Christians should study the Bible. And by the way, folks, when you read, speed reading is all right for the newspaper. And don't you speed read the Bible. It wasn't meant for speed reading. And this is one of the problems I find with most of our younger generation. They read too fast. This was not meant for speed reading. You read gently and slowly and calmly. And we have fast food markets, don't we? We're famous for fast foods in this part of the world, aren't we? Well, the Bible is not to be taken in as fast food. I remember when we went to Europe the first time. Well, we only went once. But that was the first time. And I'll tell you now, by way of that, I preferred the Italian cuisine to the French. French is supposed to be fancy. I like the Italian. But you know what? When you went to the Italian places, or even the French, in the evening, in the first place, they dressed to go to dinner. Not like the fast food McDonald's people. And, you know, we Americans are accustomed to bolting down our food. My mother used to say to us, don't bolt your food. We were in a hurry to get out and play. We want to get it down and get it over and go out and play. Well, I'll tell you this, and we learned it fast. You go to dinner at 7, you never got out before 9:30. You know why? Because they brought the first course. Now, you could eat as fast as you want. The man wasn't coming back for a half hour. So you learn to dine. To eat slowly. And courteous. That's the way to feed on the word of God. Slowly. Take it in. Every word has significance. I think it was J. Ed Darby, who said, every punctuation mark has significance in the word of God. We need to feed on the Word of God. Let me read something for you. It's called Bolting Your Spiritual Food. This comes from the Power magazine. I don't know how many of you get it. We use it in the little assembly there in connection with the Sunday school and the Bible class. Chew your way to health was the motto of Horace Fletcher, who in 1895, succeeding in reversing a lifestyle that was making him an old man at the age of 40. Fletcher became an advocate of a regimen that taught that every bite of food must be chewed 30 to 70 times. Anybody do that? This and other substantive changes brought Fletcher to vigorous, dynamic health. Hearing of his success, it was not long until people were Fletcherizing, eating slowly. There is little doubt that Fletcher was advocating a practice that we might well benefit from in our own lives. In our day of fast lanes and fast foods, there is a tendency to speed up everything we do. Sadly, this includes not only eating, but Bible reading as well. I said, don't read the Bible fast. Read it slowly. Digest. You know, many people boast about how many times I've read the Bible. I've gone through the Bible 6 times. That's not important. How many times has the Bible gone through you? That's what it's all about. The scriptures are not meant to give us knowledge. The scriptures are meant to transform us. And we read in 1 Corinthians 10, knowledge puffs up. Oh, and I know some brother, new, they're all with the Lord now. One brother in particular. I tell you, he knew, there wasn't any question you asked him that he couldn't answer concerning the Bible. Whether the answer was right or wrong, he answered. That's not the purpose of the scriptures. The purpose of the scriptures are to transform us. There are many editions of the Bible coming out. Every 2 years, there's a new edition. And I forget just how many Bible new editions came out in the last 25 years. But it's not the new edition. Some people say, which is the best edition? Which do you like? And I'm very cautious about that. Because some people, I remember one very lovely brother. And he liked a certain version of the Bible, which I did not care for. And he got angry with me. So when they ask me which version I prefer, I give a very general answer. But do you know what's the best version of the Bible? The best version of the Bible is a believer who is living. Let people see you living the Bible, and they will be attracted to it. We need to be sincere in our approach to the Bible. Psalm 1. Meditation. Mention was made of that this morning. The need for meditation. The psalmist says, while I mused. Today they want to amuse. Be careful of that, young folks. This amuse business. I'm not saying you shouldn't have fun, but do a little meditating. And I do not mean transcendental meditation. I mean meditation on the Word of God. Don't you go in for any meditation where you surrender your will and your mind to some unknown person. Satan will get a hold of you. But we need to learn to meditate over the Word of God. Time's still going fast. Well, now let's take another one in which sincerity is necessary. They mentioned attending the meeting. What about our business lives? Our daily lives. Again, we need to practice as before the Lord. We need to be serious in our daily living, in our business dealings. Numbers chapter 16. And this is one area where, as believers, we can get into a lot of trouble. As was mentioned, you know, the desire for more, 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 for things, and we become unscrupulous and do things that we should not do. Numbers chapter 16, verse 15. Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. In his dealings, his business dealings with those around, he was sincere. I know a brother who was in business, and another brother in the assembly did some business with him. And this particular brother, it was known, he was rather crooked in his business dealings. And when the brother whom he had wronged approached him about it, what do you think he said? Oh, brother, this is not the assembly, this is business. Well, your business life should be the same as your assembly life. Read with me something of interest. Genesis chapter 43. Genesis chapter 43. Verse 23. Now you remember the story of Joseph and how after he was elevated to next to Pharaoh, there was a famine and his family came to purchase corn and necessary things. He recognized them, put their money back in the containers. Everybody remembers that. Fine. Genesis chapter 43. You know the story, so let's start at verse 21. It came to pass, the brothers are speaking, when we came to the inn, that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. Other money have we brought it down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And the overlord said, peace be to you. Don't be afraid. The God of your fathers has given you treasure in your sacks. Now notice, notice what this keeper says now. I had your money. Where did he get it from? Joseph said, return each man his money. But he says, I had your money. Where did he get it from? Have you ever thought of that? I'll tell you where he got it. Joseph paid for them. Now, Joseph was next to the Pharaoh. He could say, well, these are my brothers. Just let them have it. It'll be all right. But he was careful in his business dealings, and he paid for his brothers. We need to be very careful in our business dealings. Have you heard the story of Joe the butcher? Has anybody heard the story of Joe? Well, I'll tell you the story of Joe the butcher. Saturday night. Joe had one chicken left. Lady came in, Joe, I want a chicken. All right. Brought out the chicken, put it on the scale, weighed it. So many pounds, so much money. Mm-hmm. Joe, do you have a larger chicken? Oh, yes. St. Namaki, he only had one. He went in, brought out the same chicken, put it on the scale, said it weighed more, and told her the cost. And what do you think the lady said? Joe, I think I'll take both. We need to be careful in our business dealings. This thing will catch up with us. We need to be sincere in our business dealings. Then I think of another. Weekday Christians. Some of you probably came across this. Those of you that read our daily bread. Well, this was back in January of this year. A young man was being interviewed for a position in a business firm. He had on a neat suit and made a good appearance. Nothing wrong with that. His resume listed as references. Now, listen to his resume now. His Sunday school teacher, one of his elders, and a deacon. Nice recommendations. After study, the interviewer said, I appreciate these recommendations from your church friends, but what I really like is a word from somebody who knows you on weekdays. Yeah. That's where it counts. And that's where people want to know. We need to be serious. We need to be honest. We need to be sincere in our daily walk, in our business life, and in our service for the Lord. This voice seems to be going and going and going. It may soon be gone. In our service for the Lord, we need to be sincere. Philippians chapter 1, please. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 15. Some preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Can you imagine serving the Lord out of envy, out of the spirit of competition? Terrible. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Let me ask you, child of God, in your service to the Lord, what's your motive? Why do you do what you do? Why am I up here today? What's your motive? God is going to judge motives. And it's a disgraceful and shameful thing for one to enter into the Lord's service out of a spirit of competition. I can do it better than you. I know more than you. And this sort of thing. A spirit of competition. Now, I want to just call attention, and I'm not going to go into any detail, on one other item. A number, even since I've been here, have asked me concerning certain changes. They asked me, have you noticed any changes in the assemblies as compared with, say, 30 years ago? There are changes. And yet, you know, there shouldn't be. Now, read the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. At least six times he says, what I have written to you, I've written to the churches. And at the end he says, what I've written to you is for the church in Laodicea. Now, if all the churches are following the same general principles, there should be a sameness to all assemblies. You know, you make me smile. Over our way, we say amen sometimes. This way, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but it doesn't matter. Because this is what the Bible says. If we are all following the same scriptures, there should be a certain sameness. Now, that doesn't mean you use the same hymn book. Doesn't mean you use the same tunes. Doesn't mean that you have your meetings at the same hour of the day or night. That's not the point. And 30 years ago, 20 years ago, there was a certain sameness. But today we're getting deviations from what I believe to be scriptural teaching. How sincere are we when it comes to New Testament principles of gathering? Are we all sure that this Bible is divine in its authorship? There are some among us who feel, no, it's not divine, and they're causing trouble. There are a number among us who feel that the scriptures are not the sole source of truth. You can get it from other places. And they reason this way, all truth is truth. Well, all the truth that God wants for his church is in here. You don't have to go anywhere else to get his truth for the church. But too many are deviating in various ways. Let us be sincere in our commitment to New Testament principles. Now, I'm going to ask a question. I know everybody's going to raise his hand or her hand. And yet I have reason to wonder. How many of you here believe that God created the heavens and the earth? Can I see your hands? Well, thank you. How many of you here believe that evolution was the means that God used to create and bring into being and to develop the heavens and the earth? Nobody. Oh my. You're far back. You're not scientific. You're not up to date. One of the saddest experiences I had was about 5 or 6, no more than that, maybe 8 years ago. My wife was away, and I went to a certain assembly. Broke bread, just as I'm sure you do. Beautiful order. Since my wife was away, they invited me to dinner. And almost all the believers that broke bread that morning were at the same place. Isn't that nice, you know? All the believers together, sharing the good things of this earth. Then we got into conversation. And poor me. I was the only one who didn't believe in evolution. I mean, just broken bread. And I believe they believe us in going to heaven. But they believe that God got it started and then left it to evolve. You believe that? I'm glad you do. But there are a number of believers among us getting away into this area. It makes them sound, they say, intelligent. But very frankly, to me, it makes them sound foolish. Our dear brother, where is he sitting? I don't see him here. And his daughter, son, as I mentioned earlier, we went to the zoo yesterday. And in the course of conversation, he said, can you imagine, there he is, can you imagine looking at a lion and a tiger, all these, and the things they can do and the way they carry themselves, and actually the intelligence that they show. You mean that evolved? Why, some of those animals know more than I do. That's right. When I was down in Trinidad, they told me to go to the swamps. Nice little ride. And then they said, between 6 and 6:15, the red ibises and the blue egrets would come in from South America. And I was there. There was my watch, 5 to 6. Well, they're not supposed to come here. 5 after 6, no birds. 10 after 6, no birds. 13 after 6, and I heard this noise, and all these birds came in. How did they know the time? I knew it because I looked here. And you talk about evolution. Oh, young people, don't let them deceive you. And child of God, don't be carried away thinking that you are with the intelligentsia, as they call themselves. God says they're fools. Then there is the matter of the incarnation. There are those who tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ was not God. He was a man, and all sorts of mixed up things. But of course, that started way back in the time of John the Apostle. Don't be deceived by that, especially young people. Jesus Christ was very God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And don't argue about it. And then there's the matter of the coming of the Lord. Do you believe the Lord is coming back to take us? Amen. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? It'd be terrible otherwise. Who'd want to stay down here with all this confusion? Great country like the United States going down and down and down. It's sad. I'm glad the Lord is coming. But there's some believers who feel that he won't come until we improve the earth and make it fit for his coming. And yet the Bible, you read the Revelation, you're not going to get better. God is not improving the earth. He is not improving the world. He is taking men out of the world, improving them, and this earth is going to be destroyed. And I like the expression in 1 Peter, it's going to be burned up. Not burned, burned up. There's a big difference. But these are some of the areas in which we are getting away from the truth. Our sincerity is being tested. The priesthood of all believers. Do we believe that? Every believer is a priest and has access to Almighty God. No special ones. I'm tempted to read it. I'm reading from the book of the Revelation a note concerning the Nicolaitans. I'll just read it. You don't have to. This is the old Scofield. And I like the old one, you know, for two reasons. First Bible my dad ever gave me. And I just know where to find things. I may not know the verse, but I can tell you what side of the page it is. Yeah, I think many of you understand that. But that new one, you see, it's all right. I don't know it that way. So I use the old one. Now it says, Nicolaitans comes from a word meaning to conquer. And laos, the people. Or laity. And so we have the introduction of the clergy and the laity. Now you look in the New Scofield Bible, you will find that note. Does everybody know that? Do you know why you will find that note? Because certain denominations say if you put that note in there, we won't let our people buy the Bible. They want clergy and laity. And that's coming into our assemblies. It doesn't belong there. Leadership in the assemblies. We're getting away from that. We're getting to the one-man leadership among so many assemblies. It's not in here. Not in this book. Multiple elders. Multiple leadership. And that's where the wisdom is. One man doesn't know everything. We need the counsel of others. That's one of the beautiful things I liked when I was in New York City, associated with the assembly there. Oh, there were many times we didn't see eye to eye. You know what we did? We deferred it with prayer. Sometimes it took 6 weeks until we all saw the same thing. But when you have one man, he may be wrong. And if you follow him, you go, everybody's going to be wrong. And then you have the matter of one-man ministry. You see, that would never appeal to me. Because any message that I present takes me a long time to prepare. Now, you may not have that trouble. I can't prepare messages fast. It takes me a long time. And where you have a one-man ministry, it places a load on him that shouldn't be. Besides which, there are other gifts in the assembly you don't have from them. Your young men don't develop. Beloved, we must be careful of these trends among the assemblies. Keep to the truth. Be sincere in our following of the Word of God. I'm not going to talk about salaries. We know about salaries, don't we? My time is up. Now, for me, it has been a joy. I'm sorry my voice is what it is. I know it's hard on your ears. But I have enjoyed being with you. And I thank you again for the privilege of sharing. And trust that as the days lie ahead and the Lord doesn't come, that we will all serve him in sincerity and in truth.